Father's love. Amen. God bless you. Hope you're all happy to be here as I am. Because if you are, you're really happy right now. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can come here tonight and gather with believers again, Lord Jesus, people who bring their own lick of fire, their Holy Spirit with them, and we're gathered here, and we blend these fires together until it's just a presence of the Holy Spirit in here, Father, and it's just such a warm place to be, such a welcoming place, and we just ask you to come now, Lord Jesus, and give us what we need of, Lord. Be Jehovah Jireh to us tonight, Lord Jesus. Heal us and provide for our needs. And Lord, chasten us and heal us and lift us up and encourage us, Lord. Whatever it is that we need, Father, we just ask you to come and have your way. We'll give you the honor and the glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to read out of Isaiah 60. We're just going to read a verse real quick, then be seated. And have no idea what to call this. Never even thought of a name for it till just now. So maybe something will come up later. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You can have your seat. Everyone doing all right? Amen. Tell you what, it's good to be a Christian. My. It's good to be able to walk victorious. It's good to be able to walk without condemnation beating you down all the time. For years, I just, as a Christian, it was all about just being beat down and beat down and just the condemnation from it. And it's like, that's not the Christian walk, folks. The Christian walk, you can walk victorious. So tonight, I want to speak a little bit on this here. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. First of all, let's look at this. Let me just stop for a second. I am so excited to be preaching this tonight after what happened Sunday. All right? Because let me just put it that. I'm going to stop there. Let's talk about it. Arise, shine, for thy light. What is light? It's the manifestation of the word for your day. The light for today is whatever word the bride is currently manifesting. That is the light for the day. Brother Branham said, that is Christ. Preached this 100 times here. This is nothing you haven't heard before. But it's, thy light is come. That means the light is risen on thee. It's come, which is Jesus came to you. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You are the manifestation of the light today. That's enough to go on for a week, isn't it? You are the light for today. Whatever the outside world sees of Christ, it's going to see it through the bride. It's going to see it through you. And if we have a responsibility to live such a life in front of them, have such an attitude, have the power of God on our life, that look at you and they see something different. They see that you are not like the Baptists. You're not like the atheists. You're not like the Muslims. You're not like the message believers. You are like the bride of Christ. And people look at you and say, there's just something weird about you. There's something different about you. You deal with situations different than normal people. And of course, we all stumble and fall many times in this, and we're like, oh my goodness, I'm a reproach to Christ again. Look what I just said. Look what I did. And that's okay because you're still a human being. It's not okay, but it does happen, and you're a human being. What you get up, you do, you get up, you apologize, which is blows people's mind because you go into the same and say, you know, I said that wrong. I should have said that. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. And they look at you like, nobody apologizes anymore. What's wrong with you? But this is the light for the day. And it is so simple, brother and sister. You know, it's done in such a way that the whole world just looks right over the top. I'm talking about the message believing world. They look right over the top of it, and they don't see the light shining there because it's not what they think it's going to be. It's like when Jesus came, he was the light for that day. And they looked at him and said, that ain't what we want. And when Paul came, they looked at him and said, we don't want that kind of preacher. And all the way down through, and brother Jerry came to this church, and people said, we don't want that kind of preacher, but he's here. The light is shining. Do you recognize the light? My. It's risen up upon thee. That means you are the manifestation of it. And we look at ourselves and we say, man, I sure don't see much of that going on. Of course not, because you see all your failures, you see all the mess you do, all the times that you don't shine the light very well, you kind of get clouded up a little bit, and Satan is there and he will tell you that over and over. You know why he doesn't tell you? He doesn't tell you about the times when you did shine the light. Verse 6, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. So we can see, and Brother Brand said, this was written about our day. And you can look around at the world and you see, oh my goodness, how much darker can it get? And yet every year it gets darker. And every year it gets darker and darker. And that makes our light shine brighter and brighter. And you look at what was going on here, you look out there and say, oh my goodness, it's just literally night and day. Completely different. Why? Because darkness is covering the people. They don't recognize the light. And when they do recognize it, they hate it. Yes, they do. Message believers hate the light. They do not like it. They don't want to hear about it. They get tore up when you talk about it, when they see it. Because why? Because the light exposes the darkness in their life. That's right. He said, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. There's your promise. Whether you see it now or not, walk in the light you do see. Because, brother, the promise is the glory, the Lord shall arise and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's not like you're going to walk around with a halo. You're going to walk around with the character of Christ in your life, the power of God in your life, and the world is going to look at it and not believe it, not like it, not see it, not recognize what it is, but you recognize it. I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you look at your life and you say, I can see the word being made flesh. I can see the manifestation. Sometimes it's just simply that when the word is preached, you accept it. Do you realize how few people can do that? Do you realize how few people can sit there and let the word come and affect in the way it does and sit there and not get mad? And walk out of here without a bad attitude. Or maybe in the atmosphere in the church, they said there was a good attitude and they accepted it. But by Monday, they already got a bad attitude. And by Tuesday, it's worse. And by Wednesday, they're always backslidden. And Thursday, they can't get back to church. And my mind, let me tell you right now, my mind is completely blown for the people who aren't here. What are they thinking? Did they think it was playing church on Sunday? Yeah, the Horners. I'm saying it. I told you I'm going to call them out. You think, well, that was just for Sunday. Hide and watch. That wasn't for Sunday, brother and sister. That is because when the devil's on the run, you need to keep kicking him. And it ain't the Horners on the run. It's the devil. And I'm not going to let him be back in here by being nice all of a sudden to him. If you didn't care enough about it to get back to church Thursday night, then go your way. Do you realize what you're playing with? Do you realize what you're doing? It's life or death. Boy, this wasn't where I was planning on going tonight. My. Trotting underfoot the blood that sanctify you, counting as an unholy thing. Doing despite disrespecting the Spirit of grace. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. His glory will be seen upon thee. Why? Because you sit there and you take it and you accept it. And when Satan comes to try to discourage you, you say, get behind me, Satan. I'm cutting off your head today. It's an attitude. It's all it is. You walk in an attitude of faith. And that Gentiles shall see thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I'm sure the Gentiles shall come to the light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes around about thee and see. Oh, hallelujah. Look around you and be happy. Look around you and take faith. Look around you and be courageous. Why? Because the light is shining upon thee. What more do you want? You talk about the power of God, Brother Phil. I never had did a miracle that I know of. I talk about miracles. Anyone can do miracles. I'm talking about the word for this day living through you. Making a difference. Lift up thine eyes, run about and see. Look beyond the little sphere of your issues. Look along the little sphere of your sphere. Look around these little things that Satan keeps pouring on your mind and pouring on your mind and take and do this. Look beyond that. Look to Calvary. Look the long range vision. Look where you're walking to. I got a new body. My, you gonna get me down about something here? Oh, brother, sister, stuff happened yesterday at work, and I had this to take care of that. I was coming to work this morning, and this was on my mind, and I just recognized that Satan was just trying to get me down, because I had to take all this. How is this going to work out? And it was all like that. And I just said, God, I'm not going to worry about that. Put it on your head. Just Satan was right back there just trying to get something in there. And I came to work this morning, and I started doing it, and that fell into place, and that fell into place, and something else just totally blew my mind, fell into place, and something else, and pretty soon I'm looking at all this list of things that Satan was trying to tear me up about, and I'm standing there feeling so humble. I say, God, what does it take for me just to let it go and say, you got this? He's got it, folks. Do you believe he's going to take care of it? Do you believe that? Or do you still have to take care of it yourself? Lift up your eyes and look around and see what he's done for you. What's he done for you? Well, I've been through some hard times. Okay, well, if you're going to feel sorry for yourself, go away. Lift up. I challenge you. Just take God out of the word and look what he's doing. Because saying the point of that, well, that's nothing. Anyone's doing that. No, they're not. No, they're not. Look at the difference going on in your life. Well, yeah, everyone can do this. I mean, I've seen a lot of people do this. What about you? Do you know whether or not it's the Holy Spirit working in your life? You know whether or not it's your own religion, your own efforts to try and live good, or if it's the Holy Spirit doing this in your life? You know it. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and confess it. We sit there and we're afraid of a confession because what if I'm wrong? What if I confess this and it doesn't happen? What if I say this and I'm wrong? Well, are you confessing the word? Well, yeah. And what are you afraid of? Being wrong? You think the word is wrong? Well, what if it's not there yet? What if this hasn't happened? What if? What if? What if, Noah, the rain's not going to fall? Hey, Abraham, what if you don't have that kid? Hey, bride, what if you don't go in the rapture? Do you realize how ridiculous that is to worry about what if? It's ridiculous. It's just Satan keeping you from a profession of faith. And you know what that does? It keeps God from working more in your life. Look around you and behold and see. God has done a work here in Dixon. If you don't believe it for yourself, look at me. I'll tell you right now, God has done a work in my life and he's continuing to do it. And it just blows my mind when I look what he's doing. Well, how'd you do it, Brother Phil? I sat there in the pew and let Brother Jerry preach Christ into me. Yes, that's how I did it. Defy. David ran up to Goliath. Goliath said, oh, look at you. I'm going to cut your head off today. David, he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to hang you up on the trees. The bird's going to eat you. David said, you defy the army of the living God? He said, I'm going to cut your head off today. Why? Because you come up there and you keep them beat down and they're afraid to move. And the army, that great army was Saul, and all the army of God was up there afraid to move. Afraid to move. Afraid. Well, what if this happened? What if that? What if Zumba back? What if, what if, what if? What if he kills him? What if we have to serve him? What if Saul gets killed? What if, brother and sister, walk out there in the, by faith and take on that Goliath? Let me tell you something. Some of the things that I said Sunday, I am completely, it's impossible for me to bring them to pass. It ain't my job to bring it to pass. It wasn't David's job to go out there and figure out a way how to kill Goliath. He was supposed to go out there and do what God led him to do. He said, pick up 5 stones down there, go up there and tell him you're going to cut his head off. God, are you sure? Have you lost your mind? You know how big he is? Your job isn't to figure out how it's going to happen. Your job is to walk out there in faith and do what he tells you to do. That's what I did, Sonny. It's up to God to bring it to pass. This world is in darkness. Why? Why is America in the shape she's in? Why is the whole world in this gross darkness? Why are message churches in the gross darkness they're in, thinking they're walking the light? There's one simple reason. The weakness of the pulpits. That is why. Because if the preachers would have get up and walk in the light and withstand the darkness, that light is stronger than darkness. So if the darkness is pushing the light back, it's because those preachers are too weak and too sissified to stand for the light. It's the pulpit. Brother Branham said it. I'm not making this up. He said we got juvenile delinquency because of parental delinquency. And we got parental delinquency because of pulpit delinquency. Because the preachers, they were too concerned about popularity and power and money and women and all this other stuff. And they did not want to walk in the light. It was more comfortable just to say nice things to people. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. They were not born again to begin with. They were trying to lead people to Christ and they didn't know who he was themselves. Exactly. That's the problem. That's why you have lukewarm message believers. That's why you have lukewarm churches. That's why you have people storming out of the church when they get mad when they have a real preacher say something that's really the Holy Spirit. That's why the darkness is here, this gross darkness on the land. Because of the weak preachers. Let me just say something, brother and sister. Don't be found not supporting your pastor. Don't be found not supporting the ministry. You'll answer for something like that. You're just preaching for ministry because you're a preacher. I'm preaching what God has given me to preach right now. You do with what you want. They need support. Remember Moses? Joshua's out there fighting, and then God said, Moses, get up there on the hill and watch over there and put your hands up. And as long as Moses' hands were up, Joshua was winning the battle. But Moses had a problem. He was a human being, and he got tired, and he got weak, and his hands would drop, and Joshua would start getting beat. So you know what? Those people did, those believers, they said, we're going to support you, Moses. And they went and they held his arms up. And they won the battle. You want to live a defeated life? Let your pastor go down. Let your pastor not feel supported. Let your pastor, the burden is too much and you're not supporting him. And sometimes we are always the cause of the burden to begin with. It's amazing what people do, the attitude towards the ministry. Look, folks, the true ministry will preach what we are given to preach, no matter what. No matter what. We got to preach what we are supposed to preach. And if you accept it, this the true ministry, the word for this day will put you in the rapture. My, what a promise. 2 Peter 1:16 says this, for we have not followed cunningly devised tales. The true ministry doesn't put their own quotes together. They don't decide, you know what, I'm going to hammer someone today. I didn't go last Sunday and say, you know what, I'm so sick of the way those Horners are acting, I'm just going to blow them up. I'm just going to attack them. I'm going to feel good when I'm done. That's the kind of minister I am. You need to run me out of here. I'll tell you what, I felt good when I was done, not because of what I had said, but because I had done what God asked me to do. Amen. I had peace. We're not trying to impress you with our knowledge. We're not trying to impress you with our deep teaching, with our ministry, our mysteries. We can just, wow, you never heard this before. Let me blow you away. What a moron. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Brother and sister, they were back there, and Peter could say, I was an eyewitness of seeing that. Let me tell you what, right now I'm telling you, I'm an eyewitness, and I'm telling you it's coming. I'm telling you right now what it is of his power, because I have seen it right now today. We're all eyewitnesses. Do you recognize it? That's the question. Do you have confidence in the ministry? If you don't, why do you go here? If you don't have confidence that the ministry is preaching to the master in the rapture, why do you waste your time here? My folks, we don't have time to be playing church. He said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when he came in such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. That was when the Mount Transfiguration, they went up and the voice spoke and said, this is my Son, I am well pleased. That was the very voice of God speaking. But listen to what he says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's more sure than that. Whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Why? Because we have 2,000 years of history. We have seen God fulfilling the word down through time. And we can look at the whole history of the church. We can see it in the Bible. We see it in the church age. We see it in the seals. We see it in the prophet of our day. We see it happening. And it's come all the way down. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's the same voice. And it's telling you that you're going in the rapture if you would just recognize and follow this voice. It's a more sure word of prophecy. What a word for Peter to say. And we sit there and say, Brother Phil, if I was on that mountain, I would have more confidence in that voice than what I'm hearing right now. Then you don't recognize the voice of God. What more can I say? But Brother Phil, you're just I'm just a person. I'm just a man. You ain't gonna stumble over that stumbling block? Oh, by the way, I made mistakes today. I did. I said some things I shouldn't have done. Shouldn't have just said I'd done some things I shouldn't have done. I did. So did you probably. Let's all just be human beings saved by grace. Take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The word comes. The sure word of this makes me happy. This sure word of prophecy comes and shines in the dark places in your life. And it said, you got some unbelief here, and you got a bad attitude here, and you got some doubt here, and it shines in there, and it brightens it up. Because why? You accept the word, and it gets rid of the darkness. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Then Jesus came and he took care of that part of your life. He took care of that darkness. And you walk away and you look back 3 months later and think, what happened to the darkness? What happened to that demon? What happened to that problem I was having? It's gone. I can't even hardly remember having that problem anymore. Oh, I hope you know what I'm talking about. By personal experience. If you don't, my, what are you doing? The bride is going forward. I can tell you with a surety, we are pressing on. We are getting ready to go. Are you coming along? Or are you just sitting here? Wondering what if? Worried about what if? If I should really confess this, if I should really walk in it, if I should just really take God at his word, if he's talking about me? Well, what I'm going to do, let me tell you what I used to do, brother and sister. I said, well, what I'm going to do now. And there I was. Religious demons keeping me from Jesus. I'd hear a message and it would just stir my heart, and I'd sit there in the pew and I'd say, okay, what I'm going to do now? Oh my goodness. I walk out just the same place I was when I came in. What do you mean, what am I going to do now? What I want to do now to make this happen. Now, what I, just don't go there. The word preached it, you believe it, and quit doing anything else about it. I'm going to handle this way. Don't do that. Quit trying to figure it out. It's sin. Yeah, I said it. It is sinful. It is. Why? Because you're mixing your ability with God's ability. You're mixing the word. You take the pure word and you put your effort into it. You're hybriding the word. Eve. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's a no private interpretation. This is not, if I'm getting up, giving my idea, giving my interpretation, Brother Jerry, whatever, brother, sister, God would not be moving in the church the way he is. He would not be changing people's lives the way he is. You can tell it's a pure word. Why? Because the effect it's having. It's the effect it's having in your life. If you are moving forward, you know it's pure, because without the pure word, you'd just be getting more religious. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't the will of man. It's not my will. It's not Brother Jerry's will. It wasn't Brother Branham's will. It's the will of God. He said, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God. Well, Brother Phil, they were holy men. Just stop a second. Do you think Paul was any holier in his flesh than you are? Do you think Peter was any holier in his flesh than you are? If you do, you're worshiping a man. You have the wrong idea. Was Brother Branham holier in his flesh than you are? If it is, you got the wrong idea. You need to quit worshiping a prophet. They're all people born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came to the world speaking lies just like you and I. And the Bible says they're a holy man. Why? Because they had a holy God living inside of them, just like you do. Then I dare you to confess that you are a holy person. You are a holy congregation. Boy, you say, boy, you sure got a high opinion of yourself. Are you crazy? You had to humble yourself. If that puffs you up, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you had to go ahead and confess who you are. And the Bible says you're a holy people, because if they're holy, you're holy. If they're holy, I'm holy. You just said you made mistakes today. Yes, I'm going to make some tomorrow too. And Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and every day I'm going to make mistakes. And you know what the Bible says? He says, I'm holy. What are you looking at? That's the question. What are you looking at? It's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you think he asked you to do something that is impossible? How do you get holy, Brother Phil? You get born again. And then you start confessing what the Bible says about you. That's all it takes. Let me finish up. What a great time to be alive. What a great time to be a Christian. What a great time to walk in the light, to recognize the light, to see Christ for today. All the prophets wanted to live in 2017. They wanted to see Christ the way we see him now. Brother Branham would love to be here today to see the Christ the way we see him now. He'd be up here saying that. You know what he'd be saying? The same thing I'm saying. Telling you who you are. Challenging you to believe it instead of worrying about what if. What about this? What about that? Well, when this happens, then I can confess it. When that happens, lay that aside, that doubt and that fear, and confess what the word says about you. And let's talk a little bit about reality. Not that we haven't been. Let's talk about Dixon Church, Bible Believers Tabernacle. Sunday, The preaching ended on a very positive note, if you noticed. Talk about people believing. Talk about the word of what the effect it was having. And it was a positive note, and there was an awesome atmosphere in here. It wasn't a beat down. It got to the point where I said, now this is where I'm happy. This is where I wanted to get to. And I preached the effect the word was having on people. Being believers. Do you notice what happened immediately when I got done preaching? I asked Nate to come up. And David gets up and under the anointing, and he gets out here and he starts praying out loud. And they had a song to sing. He stood up there, and the Holy Spirit had given him something to say before he sang a song. So he waited till David got done. And if you notice what David said, David was the word being manifest, because he had taken that. He said, this is freedom. That's what the word was supposed to do. It was supposed to produce freedom. And if you recognize it or not, that was the life for that day. It was walking. It was praying. It was confessing. I've been set free by the preaching of the word. Boy, if that don't make me happy, I need to sit down and shut up. Think about it. Did you hear what he was saying? He was taunting the devil. He was up there fearless. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Did you recognize the light of your day walking through this aisle? It was the word manifest that had just been preached, and it had had the effect that it was supposed to have. And David up there with the right attitude. Oh, boy, hallelujah. He had the right attitude, and the word was happening right in front of us. The word was happening. It had had the effect that God wanted it to have. Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm not getting this across. I don't know what else to say. The word that said, let there be light, and there was light. The word that said, peace be still, and the sea stopped. That same word said, today I'm going to cut off your head and you will be free. And he was free. That's the same voice of God. That's the word of God. It had its manifestation right in front of us. I just saw David up there running his mouth again. Oh, you poor, pitiful, backslid excuse. Man, that makes me happy. That wasn't in vain. It wasn't in vain. I don't care how many feelings were hurt. And if it set one person free, it was worth it. No one has an excuse if they're still bound, because that was the witness. You take this attitude and it will set you free. That's the attitude that God was looking for. And that's the witness. And that's the testimony to prove that what I said Sunday was exactly the word of God. My, it makes me happy. I can't tell you what it means to me, brother and sister. Maybe God did that just for me, just to give me some confidence or something after saying those things. I don't know. You know what Satan comes against? He says, they're going to hate you. They're going to say this. They're going to do this. Hey, do what you have to do. I got my witness. God already backed it up. That word did not return void. It had the effect it was supposed to have. You notice what he was doing here? It was a confident, it was a positive testimony. It was a positive thing. He said, oh, Satan, that you told that devil. He was talking to that. He said, you had me tore up all week. You almost kept me out of church. I didn't want to come, but I am free. No wonder he wanted to keep you away, because he knew the word that was going to be preached. He knew what I was going to preach. I preached it 4 or 5 times all week long. I was preaching it, and he was trembling in his shoes. See, the way I thought it meant, what it meant to be a message believer, this is kind of different than my idea of what it meant to go to church. But I find it in the word, it's in the scripture, and God comes and backs it up. You hear what, do you see? Brother Nate stayed up here and he waited till Brother David was done. And here's why, because God had put something on Brother Nate's mind to say before he started singing. And you know why he wanted to do that? Because otherwise Nate would have started singing and right away, because that's the way it is. David comes up and prays and does this all the time, but we go ahead and sing. But Nate had something to say, so God put something on Nate's, don't say nothing. You know why? Because he wanted me to preach this right now. Why? Outthink God if you can. Figure out God if you can. He does things right under our nose, and we sit there and look at it and don't even recognize it. And then all of a sudden he comes around and says, did you see what I did? Brother Branham said that's the way God does things. He does something, then he turns around and says, see, this is what I was doing. And you know what? The song, Nate comes up with that song. And what a song to sing. David, after what had just been said, he wasn't all mourning. He wasn't down and everything. He came out with a positive witness and testimony. And he was going forward in faith. What an attitude. David, and Nate gets up and he sings a song. He says, have faith. Don't worry now. Everything's going to be all right. Oh, what a song to sing in that moment. It wasn't a time of mourning. It was a time of freedom. If you wanted it to be. Yeah, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. My. Everything's going to be right. I'm changing roles for another dimension. I'm laying aside the old man. I'm putting on the new man. How's it happening? By the preaching of the word. I'm going to stand here and feel good for a while. Y'all can do what you want. I'm just going to stand here and feel good. This is just, this is reality. This is reality. What drug would you take instead of this? What comfort do you want instead of this? Amen. This is walking. This is the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, him, right here. Speaking to you, telling you, I love you. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to take care of you. You think I can't take care of your needs? What is your problem? I can handle it. Just let me take care of it. It's not a time of mourning. Arise! Shine! Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is revealed. It's risen upon thee. Oh, your enemy has been destroyed. Your enemy has had his head cut off. If you want him to be. If you'd rather walk out of here and pet that thing and take him back on there, go ahead. But you have fallen into the hands of an angry God. Oh, man. The Bible says a living God. But let me tell you what, he's also an angry God. Why? Because you're defying the army of God. You're defying the army of the living God. You're going to send a David out there to cut your head off. But just remember, this is only for believers. If you're not a believer, this is a time of mourning. If you're not a believer, this is a time of walking away like this rich young ruler, because there is one thing that you found lacking, and you walk away with great sadness. How many people tonight have great sadness because they walked away? It was too much. He chose to be sad. He could have been free like David was free Sunday, but he chose to walk away and be sad. Just how many people right now have walked away and they're sad? But I'm not. No, sir, I made a choice, and so have some of you. You made that choice. You're going through. Ain't nobody gonna hinder me. Y'all get up and walk out and say, Phil, you have lost your mind. I'm going to wave you goodbye. And then I'm going to stand here and I'm going to have a good time with just me and Jesus Christ, because that's who's here. He said, will you turn to? Will you go to? Where? Where would I go? Where would I go, Brother Paul? Say, does this mean the battle's over? No, it means you're just getting started. But you walk victorious in the battle. That demon will keep coming back, and whatever it is, they will keep coming back, and they'll hammer you and they'll hound you, and they're going to try and get you discouraged and try all the things they can, especially the weak places that you've had in your life. They'll come back there and over, but let me tell you something. I can tell you by the word of God, you can walk victorious. You fight that thing every day, but you can walk victorious. You can if you want to. You don't want to take that comfort back on you. You might have the worst weeks ever. You might go through whatever you have to go through, but you can walk victorious, brother and sister. Because the word went forth. It's already done. That word will have the effect it was meant to have. Arise and shine, brother and sister. Your light has come. Now keep the devil on the run. Don't let down. Don't let up. Don't relax. It's worth it. Amen. God bless you. Stand. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you would come and vindicate your word to us tonight. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you care enough about us. You know what we have need of. You lead us and you guide us and you just take care of us in every way. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming again tonight and encouraging us. I pray that each person who heard this tonight, Lord, that we would just have such a faith to seize on to that and believe. Just to believe. Not trying to produce it, not trying to, well, I'm going to start doing this. Just let that go. Help us, Lord. Just accept the word and believe that what you started, you will finish. I pray for the ones who aren't here tonight, Lord. If there's a good reason for not to be here, Lord, bless them. If there's a bad reason, Lord, don't give them any rest. Let whatever has to happen to get them back where they need to be, Lord. I pray for Brother Jerry, Lord, that you continue to bless him and his family in Ohio. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Sing, give me oil in my lamp.
Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Oh,
disturb everybody. But when Brother Phil was preaching what he's preaching tonight, that service, is this all right, Brother Phil?
I don't know, what are you going to say?
It's that service before it happened, I tell you what, I thought I was going to die. I'm being serious. I was walking around the house, Brother Paul, and I'd try to pray, and I couldn't get no answer. I just wanted God to tell me what was going to go on. I was nervous. I was stressed out. And my wife straightened me out on something. I had went and asked somebody their opinion about something, what God had showed me. I know Brother Bill's going to laugh, but I went and asked God's opinion, somebody about an opinion on something, and they come and gave me their opinion, and I got all affected and tore up. And the devil's going, hey, what you've been doing up there, you're fixing to get burnt for it. That was not of God, and you know it. And I got caught between opinions and what God showed me to do. And sometimes asking the people's opinions ain't a good thing to be doing for me. And Brother Phil, he got up and he preached what he preached today. As soon as he got up, and I've been walking around this week, and I said, man, I ain't going to have to deal with that no more. And I thought, oh, no. That devil, if his head pops up again, God says, we'll deal with it. And the thing about it is, what God did to me Sunday or something that happened to me, and it's like I met God face to face. I seen him again for just what he was. What a change it does in your life. And here's another thing God showed me. And here's the thing about it. If you come in here and you was not prayed up for that service, and there was a certain thing that went on, and you come in here and Brother Phil said it. He said, here's what Brother Phil said. He said, this ain't about breaking up with a girl or anything. The devil can get you any way he wants to. He can just think, well, that brother said that because this went on. No, this was about the soul. And that's how the devil can trick you. And he can trick me. And that's what he was trying to do to me last Sunday before the service. He was trying to trick me out. He said, I wouldn't go in there and deal with that. Here's what he told me. He said, fall on the floor like you hurt and go to the hospital so you don't have to go in there and deal with it. He said, the ministry will understand. And a voice came to me. He said, let me tell you something, my friend. He said, though, you're going to get your shoes on and you're going to head out that door. Because if you don't, I'll deal with you personally right in the pulpit. And David says, the staff and the rod is our comfort. The ministry's the staff and the rod. That's our comfort. I know I talk a lot, but the devil, he's slick. He does things. He'll get a minister, will get up and preach what he preached, and he'll get you alone by yourself. I was riding around this week. He said, Phil didn't have to say that to you like that. He didn't have to humiliate you. I said, get a life, buddy. Okay? Everybody knows about me. Everybody knows what kind of attitude I'm going to get. It ain't nothing here. And I love y'all. I love Brother Phil. I think Brother Phil is sweeping the house out while Brother Jerry's gone. So praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sing, Isn't He Wonderful?
Is ever what's recorded in God's word.
Let's have Brother Jimmy to dismiss us.